Good morning, everyone. My name is Melindy. You know the preacher because I'm his wife, and I'm also the mother to the two Fantas here. I don't know if you saw them. And this morning, I would like to invite you to go on a walk with me. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Father God, you were here this morning before we even arrived, before the sun came up and before the first ray of light was visible. You were here. Likewise, you were here before there was anything. Father God, and even though you are so big and sovereign and so much bigger and unthinkable, unfathomable for us, you thought of us and you have a plan. And you take time to talk to us and share your plan. Please help us to hear what you want to tell us this morning. Amen. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both, and being one traveler, long I stood and looked down the one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, for it was grassy and wanted wear, though the trodding day has wore them out pretty much the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, but knowing as way leads on to way, knowing that I would never come back. A few verses from my favorite poem by Robert Frost. The most researched poem on Google, searched 4 times more than any other poem on Google, according to Google also. What is interesting about this poem, it's also known as the most misinterpreted poem in America. We used to sit in the English class while our teacher was squeezing meaning out of every word and every comma and every full stop in poems. And we would tell each other, just imagine one day we meet the poet and he tells us, that's not what I meant at all. That is what happened here. So Robert Frost wrote this poem to his best friend, Edward Thomas. And it was to make fun of him because Thomas would have a very hard time deciding which road to take in their morning walks. But no matter how many times Frost told Thomas it was a joke, the more Thomas said, but you have to see the deeper meaning in this poem. And I think the reason why we can relate with this poem is because we are travelers. In the poem, there's a traveler in front of two roads, and he's struggling to decide because he doesn't know where they lead. And we, so many times, struggle with decisions. We don't know what our actions is going to result in, what the consequences would be. And we are also in front of two roads. That's what we see in Ephesians. But the biggest difference between us and the poet or the traveler in the poem is that we can know where we are leading. We can know the destiny. We are in front of two very different roads. The road of desire and the road of design. The first we found in the beginning of Ephesians with this beautiful scripture. God says, for he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, chapter 2, he predestined us for good works in which we should walk. Design. And then the other road. I heard an ad of HBO on the radio. It says, every one of us has this urge to run after things that's bad for us. The road of desire. You walk following the course of this world, following the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. Let's open our Bibles in Ephesians 4. We're going to read from verse 17 to 32. It's also going to be there. And let's hear more about these roads. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you've learned in Christ. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now I love how this passage starts. I testify in the Lord. Sorry. It's a reminder of how the book started. It's as if Paul is saying, guys, remember why you were designed. Remember the path, the plan, the destiny we have in the Lord. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father, the designer, knew exactly where he wanted you to end, your destiny. And then he created earth around that so that you can be with him, walking in good works. These are not two random paths in a wood. They are two very specific paths. One leading to your destination, your design, and the other to desire. Now this I say, in the light of your destiny where God wants you, this is the way that you should walk. For the other path leads to deception. In verse 17 it says, this I say and testify, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. The futility means transient, non-permanent. And the word for walk is that funny one, peripateo. This is not a purposeful walk. It is to tread all around. It's like, imagine a very fluffy dog, a labby or a spaniel, coming in from the garden out of muddy garden after a good rain on your very clean white tile floor. Him coming in all excited to see you and jumping and feeling very confused because you don't look excited to see him because he's messing up your floor. And the more he looks at you, the more he step all around. That is to tread all upon. That is the walk that's talked about here. In plain English, it says, stop living as if your decisions has no eternal value and consequences. says that they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life. A few years ago, I was joining my mom on her Christmas craft shopping marathon. And we started with the biggest market. And towards the end of this first one, I was starting to feel a little bit weird. So I contributed it to the fact that we were way too many people in a badly ventilated space. So I expected to feel better going to my car and joining my mom at the next one. But as I start driving, I realized that I was driving on a sloped road. So I instinctively correct my body to make the horizon level. At the second robot, I realized something was wrong. So I got out and phoned my mom and to tell her that maybe we should cancel the next market. Getting out of the car, I felt nauseated and sick. I ended up in the middle of Pretoria, my head between my knees on the sidewalk, head way too heavy for the neck. By the time Henry got there, I couldn't walk. I couldn't see. And whatever I was hearing was not from the real world. We got to the ER and I was diagnosed with acute vestibulitis and extreme vertigo. Big words to say, there's something wrong in your inner ear that's making you feel as if everything is spinning around you. Vertigo. The word darkened in its original means vertigo. If we follow the road of desire, our minds are so darkened. We are so confused that we cannot see where we're supposed to go. We cannot see the dangers of our decisions. We cannot hear the Holy Spirit. And we walk down this road leading to our own death. The road of desire leads to death. This is maybe the saddest part of this road, that if we follow our desires, we are alienated from God. We are alienated from His plan for us. We are alienated from our original design. Our heart has calluses around us. A callus is a dead part of your skin. It's like when you buy new shoes and that seam is just irritating you on that round part of your foot. So to protect yourself, your skin actually dies. So it's no longer irritated. And that's what we do. Our hearts become hardened so that that friction of the Holy Spirit can no longer irritate us. It's said so beautifully in the International Children's Bible. They do not understand. They know nothing because they refuse to listen. So they cannot have the love God gives. They have lost their feeling of shame. And they use their lives for doing evil. More and more, they want to do all kinds of evil things. That is what happens. If we repetitively tread all around like unbelievers after our deceitful desires, we put calluses around our hearts. Simpson and Bruce said the following, sin is the desire to follow your own way, a disease that is slowly sucking out your strength and vigor, resulting in moral death. This is not to hinder you. This is to ultimately eliminate you. But that is not the way we learned in Christ. 2,841 times in the Bible, our sinful desires, the futility of the human mind, is presented. And 2,841 times, it says, but God. But God did not forget Noah. But God did not permit Jacob to be harmed again. But God did not forget Joseph. But God redeemed David. But God showed his faithfulness. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. How then should we walk? We make a decision. Decision versus deception. In verse 22, it says this: put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed by the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Literally, think of it as an outfit. Imagine being all dressed up, ready to go to a formal dance. The dress or the tux, the coat, the heels, the jewelry, the hairdo, and then taking it off. Take off your coat, kick off your shoes, put on your dry fit shirt, aerodynamic socks, running shoes, jewelry off, hair up, hat on, ready for a run. I don't know about you, but it has never happened to me that I was on my way to a dance and the next minute I'm ready for a run. There's a decision that happens. You have to decide to change. A decision. And that decision leads to your destiny. We have this rule in our house that you cannot come to the dinner table if you're still wearing your school uniform, to the annoyance of some of our members. So many times we would gather to eat, and one has to go and change before one can eat. If you know teenagers, you can say with all certainty, they have not decided not to eat. But their passivity, their lack, their absence of making a decision, make them be in a space that they don't eat. We are deceived so many times. We are thinking that we don't have to decide to follow God's way. Our good thoughts and good actions and good life will lead us to our destiny. That's not the way it works. If you haven't decided yet, your passivity, your absence of making a decision will make that you don't reach your destiny. That you don't end where God wants you to end. That your futile actions will lead to your own death, alienation, separation from God. You have to decide. What then? What now? We need divine change on our road to destiny. Verse 23 said, be renewed by the spirit of your minds. Our spirit are changed by the Spirit, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shines his light, his truth, his love into our hearts and soften our hearts. It's bringing light to a darkness of our thoughts and make us make the right decision. Eternal value for our futile decisions. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says it so beautifully. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The grief that is spoken of there is not some petty, oversensitive grief of the Holy Spirit. He's grieved with us mainly because we're missing it. It's for our own sakes. He knows what misery our desires will cost us. We make the decision to follow Christ, but then we look at the Spirit to give us the grace and strength to walk that road. Our hope is fully on the grace, the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the more we get to know Him, the more His desires become our desires. And the more our desires are looking just like His desires, the less the Holy Spirit is grieved. You can find some of His desires there towards the end of our passage. Truthfulness in relationship, forgiveness, pureness of heart, purposeful actions, words that build up, and many more throughout the Bible. This morning, we have two diverging roads in front of us. The enemy wants us to think that they are very much alike, that they lay equally in front of us. The enemy wants us to think that we can come back another day and walk the other one. But we need to choose. This morning when I got up to pray for the day and prepare for the message, I read a scripture, Isaiah 14, verse 24. I will read it now. And then I thought, what a great scripture. And when we were praying before the service, someone said something, and I thought of the scripture again. And then we sang that last song. And it said of the orphan that needs to come home. There are orphans here this morning. As Andre said, we have people, it's in our family. They're not here to listen to the message this morning, but you are. And some of us sitting here are orphans. And I want you to hear the scripture. It says, if the Lord, He said, as I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. You think that you are way too far off on the road of desire. You heard the story of the dog and you thought, yes, my floor is very dirty. And you think it's too late for you. And God is saying, I'm calling you home. It's never too late to come home. My plan has not changed. I didn't have this beautiful dream for you, but sorry about you. It says, but God. You did that, but God. His plan for you is still the same. I want us to stand up while I read you this last scripture. It's a scripture from Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It says this, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. Father God, you are speaking to us, and I know that you want us to come home. I know that you all want us on your designed path. Father God, and I also know that there are many people here this morning that's thinking that they can do both. That they've got one foot on the one road and one foot on the other. Father God, and I pray that you will work in our hearts. You will bring us to a decision to choose life. Maybe for the first time. Or maybe it's just a wake-up call to say you can't do both. Father God, we want to walk in your way. We want to end at your destination. And I want to give an opportunity that if you have never making a decision to follow God's way, the road of design, I want you to lift up your hand. Just to do something physical to show I'm making that decision. Or if you're in a space that you realize that you have done both, or you have thought that maybe you can do both, I want you to, just as a decision, to say, God, I want your design for my life. I don't want something else. Father God, you know our hearts. Thank you that you chose us first in love to be holy and blameless in your sight. Thank you that, Jesus, you died on a cross for us because we cannot do this on our own, and that our hope can be fully on the grace of the Holy Spirit walking with us every step of the way. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.